Herzlich willkommen bei Glücklich Verkopft,
dem Podcast mit drei Kölner Psychologinnen auf der Couch.
Hier kriegst du Input und Inspiration aus der Psychologie, um dein Leben und dich selbst besser zu verstehen.
Und nebenbei noch glücklicher zu werden. Herzlich willkommen bei Glücklich Verkopft, dem Podcast mit Psychologinnen auf der Couch. Ich bin Jessi und ich freue mich sehr, dass ihr eingeschaltet habt zu unserer allerneuesten Episode, die eine Premiere sein wird, nämlich eine Interviewfolge auf Englisch. Ich stelle euch gleich vor, worum es geht, aber ich wollte mich einmal kurz für die lieben Nachrichten bedanken, die wir in den letzten Tagen und Wochen bekommen haben. Und das ist jedes Mal mega, mega schön für uns, weil der Podcast ja so als Medium relativ einseitig ist. Das heißt, wir wissen nicht so richtig, wer hört uns, wie gefällt euch unsere Arbeit, unsere Folgen. Und es ist super motivierend, von euch zu lesen und mitzubekommen, wo ihr uns hört und was unser Podcast auch schon für euch bewegt hat, was euch interessiert hat. Also vielen, vielen Dank dafür und wir freuen uns da weiterhin auch total drüber. Zu Gast in der Folge ist heute Caroline. Caroline ist eine Elemental-Yoga-Lehrerin. Das heißt, es wird auch um ein Element der Yoga-Tradition oder einer speziellen Yoga-Tradition gehen, nämlich des Elemental-Yogas, wo es darum geht, sich auf die Natur zu beziehen, sich mit der Natur zu verbinden und das auch in sein Leben zu integrieren. Ich habe Caroline auf einem Yoga-Retreat selber kennengelernt und fand ihre Arbeit super inspirierend und habe mich sehr gefreut, dass ich sie besuchen durfte für dieses Interview. Caroline ist Holländerin, das heißt, wir haben das Interview auf Englisch geführt. Das ist auch für mich eine Premiere, auch ein bisschen aufregend und ich hoffe, ihr verzeiht mir, dass mein Englisch natürlich nicht native ist, aber ich habe mir Mühe gegeben und ich glaube, wir sind ganz gut zu verstehen, weil Carolines Englisch super gut ist. Es gab ein kleines Tonproblem, das heißt, der Ton ist nicht ganz perfekt, aber der Inhalt ist so wertvoll und inspirierend und damit wünsche ich euch jetzt ganz, ganz viel Spaß. Ich hoffe, dass ihr etwas für euch mitnehmen könnt. Wir sprechen über die verschiedenen Elemente, über Erde, Wasser, Feuer, Luft und Spirit, was die mit uns zu tun haben und mit unserem Leben zu tun haben, wie es aussehen kann, wenn es eine Imbalance gibt, also wenn zum Beispiel das eigene Feuer zu lichterloh brennt oder wenn wir nicht unsere eigene Wahrheit sprechen. Und auch ganz praktisch, was sind Rituale, was sind Möglichkeiten, sich mit den verschiedenen Elementen zu verbinden. Und es ist mal eine andere Sicht auf psychologische Phänomene, was ich ganz spannend finde. Ja, wir mögen es ja auch in dem Podcast, von dem Verkopften auch ab und zu mal ins Fühlen zu gehen. Und ich glaube, das ist in dieser Folge gut gelungen und im Fokus. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß und wir freuen uns wie immer sehr, von euch zu hören. An glücklichverkopft@outlook.de, glücklich mit OE, über eine Nachricht bei Instagram oder eine Apple Podcasts Bewertung. Viel Spaß! Welcome to this episode of Glücklich Verkopft. It's an interview episode with the beautiful Caroline, a friend of mine, and I'm here in her living room and very happy to have her here. Caroline is a yoga teacher. She's also a holistic coach, combining a lot of interesting things and interventions and strategies to lead a happier and fulfilled life. And that's why it was sure for me that I wanted her on the podcast. She's also a host of yoga retreats. And I was happy to take part in one this year. Yeah, I got to know her like this. And her very inspiring soul, I think. So I'm very happy to be here with her today. She's also an author of two books so far. She just told me there will be another one soon. Or not so soon, but there will be another one. And there are many topics we could talk and discuss, I think. But today we want to focus a bit on how to live a balanced life and how to use the nature as inspiration and how to connect with nature as well. So, yeah, I'm happy to have you here, Caroline. Maybe you can also introduce yourself.
Thank you, Jessi. It's so beautiful to be part of this podcast and to see your creation. And I'm really honored that you asked me, so thank you. Yeah, I think you gave a wonderful introduction. And I also, yeah, it really touches me to hear the way that you presented me. So thank you for this. And yeah, I think it's just a combination of all my passions coming together and also really living it. So whatever I share, whether it's on a yoga retreat or in a private session with a client or in one of my books, it really comes from a place of having experienced it myself, really walking the talk. For me, that's the most important thing, to come across also authentically and to share what I do really from a place of love.
We talked a bit about what you're doing. So maybe you can also tell a bit about your path. How did you go there? And what's your vision and mission right now?
So my path, how I arrived here is, I think we all have such a long journey, right? So I'll try to keep it short. The past 5 years have really been becoming more focused on this natural approach. So really working with the five elements. I think before, when I was introduced to yoga in my early 20s, it was really more, I think most of us can relate to this, that it was more the physical, it was the asana, it was the flexibility, what it did for my body, how it felt. But really shifting towards it becoming a way of life and a way of living, and integrating it not only in a morning practice, but also in what you feed yourself, how you flow with the seasons, how you react and respond to times of imbalance, which is also very natural. I think that for me is what really deepened my understanding of what, perhaps what yoga is, that it's more a lifestyle and that it extends to so much more. And that's where the elemental approach for me turned into a very therapeutic way of living. And then I furthered my understanding and my learnings to then be able to share it with others.
Yeah. You already said it. You're an elemental yoga teacher. And we will talk more about the elements and what they represent and what it is about. And you also noticed that imbalances are just normal and they are a part of life. And this is also, I think, another way to look at psychological issues and disorders, which I as a psychotherapist treat in one way. But I feel that there are so many different approaches that make sense. And I try to invite different people to the podcast to have a new view on the things. And I feel like that this element approach also explains a lot. So it's also a good image for yourself. So maybe let's dive into the elements. You can tell us a bit about what is it, what do they stand for, and how do they show up in my life and your life.
Yes, and this is such a beautiful inquiry, right? When we start to look at how we actually live our lives, if you look at the very basics, what are we made of? And I think that elemental question is kind of, it almost breaks things down to the basics. That's what I feel. So if you look at like what the five elements represent in the body, the physical body, so earth element is the most grounded and it's connected with our physical body. It's connected with certain organs. So in this case, the earth element is the stomach and the spleen organs. And it has an essence of self-nourishment, self-love. How do we nourish ourselves? What kind of food, not only food, but also thoughts and emotions, and what kind of healthy boundaries do we create around our physical body? This is kind of the foundation that we build on. And then the next layer would be the element of water, which is connected to our emotional body. And this flows with a sense of kind of a question of what emotions are present, and to trust your emotions, to go with the flow, also to trust the flow of life. It's connected to the kidneys and the bladder. Those are the organs. And when I say it's connected, I should have perhaps explained this a bit. So it's a combination of looking at different therapeutic models. So the organ systems are related to meridian lines, which are energy streams that flow through the body. And this connects to our organ systems. And in this, you can see, so if somebody has perhaps problems with the kidneys, or things like stress, which can really affect the adrenal glands, which sit above the kidneys, this could then be considered a water imbalance. And by looking at that, you can then use certain practices that target the water element to help rebalance yourself. And then, so then I guess the next layer would be the fire element, which connects us to the psychological body, our mind, our thoughts, our beliefs. It's also the element of passion and brings kind of a light within you, what brings light into your life, and also has a darker side. So each of the elements also have their shadow sides. The fire element is then connected. The meridians of the fire element are connected to the heart, the small intestine, and also the triple heater, which is essentially in Chinese medicine, it's a system that regulates our immunity. Mm-hmm. So as you can hear, it's also complex, the elemental system. Definitely. It has many mm-hmm. layers. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep it as mm-hmm. as simple as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so continuing on with the next one would be the air element, mm-hmm. Which is an element that brings a sense of lightness and vitality. And when I talk about these qualities, generally, when I work with people, the first question I would ask is, how do you experience the element? Because mm-hmm. We have this in us. It's intrinsic, deeply rooted intelligence that each of us carries within us because we are a part of nature and we all speak the language of the elements. Only sometimes in our modern life, we might have lost touch of it. Mm-hmm. And so this is where maybe some guidance or some redirection can be useful. So the air element with the meridian lines is connected to the lungs. For obvious reasons.
Makes sense, yeah.
And the large intestine. And it has, of course, beautiful breath work that can help activate air energy. General imbalances can be things like inability to grieve or any kind of problems with the lungs, such as asthma or anxiety. Mm. So these are, again, you can see that connection with where it comes up in the body. And then how you can then redirect it therapeutically with the elements. And finally, the fifth element, which many of us forget about because we often think of these four elements, which we can also feel and see more in nature, right? Mm-hmm. So the fifth element is spirit, which is more the mysterious element. It combines all four elements come together for spirit. And in the body, it's the spiritual body. So this sense of also the intuition and the higher senses that we have. And connected with the meridians, it's the liver and the gallbladder. Mm-hmm. So our cleansing organs.
Okay. Thank you for this introduction. It's difficult to make it that short, right? Because it's quite complex. Each of the elements could have their own episode, I guess.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And you've written a book about it where each is a very big chapter as well. Mm-hmm. You were talking a bit also, where does it come from? So there's the Chinese medicine partly. So it's from different traditions, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you tell a bit more about the origin? How did this elemental yoga evolve?
Yeah, it's a combination of different techniques. And I want to be clear that it's not my creation.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm not taking credit. It's a very beautiful system that I learned from a teacher. And he went around the world actually learning from different teachers and traditions. And through that, he combined what he learned into kind of this unified elemental approach. And it looks at, like you mentioned, it's a combination of Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, so the Indian, ancient Indian, kind of the sister to yoga, sister science of yoga, which looks at more nutrition and a seasonal approach. And then he also combines shamanic elements from South America. So it's a combination of these three ancient traditions.
And the idea is to sum it up, the idea is that everyone has all of these elements in their life and within themselves. And when you're healthy and when you're happy, they are in balance. And when you're not, when you're suffering, when there's something that doesn't feel right or there's a disorder, you get sick, you get ill, then there's something out of balance, right?
Yeah, to put it simply, that's the general. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So for many of you probably listening, that's a new way of looking at it. But yeah, just stay tuned and see what it feels like. And maybe you can also feel into it, because like you just said, Caroline, that we have intuitive feeling for the elements. So maybe you can already ask yourself, what are my ideas about fire? What are my ideas about earth? What feels familiar and what feels kind of strange or maybe not so much integrated? So how does it manifest when there's an imbalance, and how do I find it out? I mean, I could go to a coaching with you, mm-hmm. but for myself to get a first idea. Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. And it's so dependent on the specifics, right? So I think for me, perhaps the most important thing is actually that you notice an imbalance. So many of us actually power through and we don't take the time to stop long enough to even notice that mm-hmm. there is an imbalance, right? And I speak from also personal experience, like I do this as well. And I think that the way perhaps the society in our world is designed also pushes us in this direction where, you know, we're expected to work certain hours. There's a certain cycle of modern life that doesn't take into account mm-hmm. the moon cycle, for example, or seasonal cycles, things like hibernating in the winter and being more active in the summer. This used to be our ancestors lived this way, right? They were very connected to nature. But in modern society, this has slowly started to be ignored, whereas now it is coming up and many people are realigning with this way of living, natural living. So I think the key to actually rebalancing yourself is, first of all, noticing that there's an imbalance, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And once you actually stop long enough to feel into what it could be or where it manifests in your body, then you can take it a step further and really inquire what's behind it. So, for example, an easy way to identify which imbalances are connected to which elements are to look where it presents in the body. Mm. So, for example, as I mentioned, if it's connected to one of the organ systems that run on the meridian line of that element, you already know that you could work with that element to rebalance that. Organ, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you brought up also this, the cycler, mm-hmm. which is also something I find very inspiring because, yeah, this is also part of this elemental approach that in one season or in one phase of your life, one element is more powerful, right? And another one less, and that this is changing as well. So it's not always stable, mm-hmm. but changing, right?
Yeah.
And, this is something I found very inspiring as well, to allow myself to be less productive in times and to be more productive when there's more drive.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is something that's very helpful to realize it or for myself. When are the times I can work a lot and it feels right and it feels aligned? And when are times I need to pause and make a break? This is also connected to elements, right?
Mm-hmm, very much.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's so apparent when you look at nature. I think that's where a big part of the elemental teachings come from, are directly from nature. So if you look out your window and observe, there's a beautiful cherry tree outside here. And at the moment she's bare, she has no leaves. You know, we're in at the end of autumn going towards winter. And she's taking rest, whereas in the spring, she's vibrant, she's full of green leaves, she has flowers, she's attracting bees and insects, and there's a sense of aliveness, awakeness, vitality. And then in the summer, the height of summer, she bears these beautiful ripe red cherries. So it's like this plump, abundant harvest. And then again, she loses her leaves and releases. And so I feel a big lesson comes directly from just observing nature. And we see and we can learn from everything around us, actually.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful, I think. Mm. Yeah, and right now we have autumn, so all the trees are letting go.
Yes.
This can be so inspiring to ask yourself, what do you want to shed or what do you want to let go?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, now we took a little
detour.
But going back to the elements in your body, Maybe we can talk about some examples we also have in psychotherapy, and you could say what would be a way to look at it from elemental yoga or elemental therapy. So someone who is overthinking and has problems sleeping, maybe a lot of doubt. What could this, of course, it's very personal, I think, but is it connected to one element a lot, or could it be to a different element?
It can be a combination of two elements, for sure. What first arose in me when you were kind of describing this mm-hmm. condition. So that's another thing. I work very intuitively. Mm. So when you're explaining already, like, things are coming into my mind or my field, and I'm feeling into it. And so I'll just share what first
yeah.
came up.
Yeah.
A sense of anxiety and being too much in the mind mm-hmm. is generally in Ayurveda, you would call it a vata condition. So it's kind of the dosha type, the energetic type that has a lot of air element present. And it means that you can be a bit airy up in your mind, mm. that also your energy isn't rooted. It's not in your lower body. It's not close to the earth, but it's up high in your head. Mm. And actually, it's interesting you bring it up, because this time of year, autumn, is often when this comes up in many people. Because there is this, there's the wind, what you just said, there's the leaves that are falling, there's a shift. Often the weather can be quite extreme. And it's generally the time where vata dosha can be the most likely to become out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if you have a lot of air naturally present in you, kind of autumn would be the time of year to stay more grounded, to eat more grounding foods, mm-hmm. to do a slower yoga practice perhaps, or to take walks in the forest. So to kind of remind yourself to slow, to come back to your body
mm-hmm.
and out of your mind.
That's beautiful, to go out of the overthinking and more again in the body and in the nature, to ground, no? mm-hmm. to strengthen the earth element as well.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's the same, but I was also thinking about jealousy, when someone is maybe very controlling in a relationship. Could this also be connected to air, or maybe the person is not grounded?
that's a first, to be honest. For me, I need to just feel into this, because in private sessions or when I've worked with people, it's often depression up. Or burnout mm. or these kind of, but mm-hmm. yeah, jealousy, I've never actually, but control issues, yes. So the second that you mentioned, mm-hmm. That's very clear for me, but jealousy could be, because I then felt maybe that there's some anger behind that, which could be, or a different emotion, which is more a spirit condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be
anger.
Anger. Anger is directly related also to the liver.
Okay. Yeah.
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 And, but jealousy is, one that I haven't actually worked with before. So yeah, it's good. It's good that you bring it up, because then it's a new one for me actually. To go into the control issues, which might be behind mm-hmm. the jealousy, this would be more related to a sense of wanting to control, wanting to have healthy boundaries or set boundaries mm-hmm. or an inability to set boundaries. And this is more related to the earth element mm-hmm. and could be also a relation of a lack of self-love
yeah.
and self-worth.
Yeah. I was thinking the same of a tree that doesn't have roots.
Yes.
So you need to control everything because you think the tree might fall.
Yeah.
Because you don't trust in your roots. That could be a picture for jealousy as well.
That's a beautiful way of seeing mm-hmm. it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning depression. What imbalance could be behind?
Depression can be a complex one, because it depends on more the background and the story behind it perhaps, and how it's presenting, because depression can present in different, as you well know, of course. There's two main elements that can support rebalancing it or working with depression, one of which is air. So as the air element has an uplifting quality, and it's generally the element of positivity. And when your air is in balance, you generally have this liveliness and joy, and you can be spontaneous. And that's often what's lacking, right, with depression.
Yeah.
So you'd like to also bring some air into it, to bring a bit of lightness.
To feel alive again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so like a breathing practice as pranayama is wonderful for depression, because it helps bring a sense of aliveness, just what you said. And you could also work with the water element, which is the element of emotions. So really feeling also what is the message that the emotion is sending, looking perhaps at childhood traumas. Yeah, and this is more than going into the depth of it, because as we can observe in water, water always wants to go towards the depth. It always falls downwards. There's a stream and also an essence of self-reflection. When you look into water, you can see your own reflection. And this is often what's also needed in times of depression. Why is it presenting in the body? What's really the emotion behind it that needs to perhaps be cared for and addressed?
Yeah, and also what you should look at. Because when it's like a mirror, this water, when it's like a mirror, it shows you something. And very often in depression, you don't want to look at it.
Yes.
But it can help to do, because then the issues can come up and be processed and worked with.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And come to the surface where air can bring it, bring that breath of lightness, you know, to blow it away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, if seen on a society level, are there elements that are more liked and elements that are more depressed? Or do you know what I mean?
On a societal level, so on a bigger scale.
Yeah,
I think for sure, if I understand correctly, and yeah, please correct me if I do go in a different direction. I mean, one that might be obvious for listeners and for you is the element of fire, which is often overstimulated in our society. So if we look at the fire element as the driving force behind our motivation and production, and it's very much a yang element. It has this quality of doing, and there's a strength behind it. Mm. It's the element that gives us power and force. And so we can see in society that we have been driven to be productive and to perhaps push beyond our boundaries and our limits, to do more than to be or to feel. So definitely fire, we're seeing a lot of fire in society, and we're perhaps misusing our fire energy in a way that's also leading to depletion, because we're also seeing widespread burnout, for example. Mm-hmm. And that word already says it, burn
true.
Out.
Yeah.
Your fire has been burned out.
Yeah, true. Mm. Yeah, very often it's already in the word.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I think depression comes from pressing down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's that sense of like heaviness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been living with the elements now? Can you say that? Or was it always within you, but then you got words for it?
I think that actually all of us are naturally elemental creatures, right? We're born as a part of nature, and we always have all five elements present within us. Mm. So we all are, everyone listening to this is already living the elements. But for me, the shift of consciously living and working with the elements was 5 years ago. So now 5 years I've been, really trying to consciously live my life according to this wisdom. And I'm still learning every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. What has changed since you're using it consciously?
I wanted to say everything, actually, but because it's been a big shift in my life. What has changed is, I think from the moment I start my day till I go to bed, there's just a different sense of awareness with how I regulate my energy, how I nourish my body. And it's according to the seasons. It's according to my moon cycle. So I think there's a depth of awareness with which I live life now, which has really brought my life to a, and I'm not always in balance, not at all, because that's, like I said earlier, it's natural also to be out of balance. And that's also a beautiful process. But it's brought a sense of acceptance to whatever I'm going through, and also a knowing that there's a way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's heavy, and there's a way to highlight it or to even strengthen it when it's a positive thing. So it's almost like it brings your life to the next level. I don't know if that makes sense, but it intensifies life in a very natural way.
Mm, yeah. And also there's room for everything, right? There's room for any emotion. Everything is allowed.
Yes. Everything is welcome.
Yeah.
Because everything is natural.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful. So maybe very practical, because I love to make it very practical. Maybe for, you already started that during the talk, but maybe for the different elements, you could share one or two ways to strengthen them. It's also, I think, about connecting to them, right? Connecting to them in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe how you do it, or how you do it with your clients. Yeah. So we can go through them. And for example, I remember that you were talking about that Earth is very important when we're traveling and when there are transitions in our life, because then we can be a bit like up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, traveling, really, we go up in the air and then we go down, but maybe our whole self is not there yet.
Yeah.
Because parts are still where we came from. Maybe take this example. We have a time where we're traveling, where a lot of changes, we're moving. How would you ground yourself and connect to the element of Earth?
That's a nice question. I like that. Everything that I'll share now is really my personal practice. And I think that we all really need to find our own ways. There's no right or wrong in this, right? It's already what you said, to experience the element yourself. That's key. And so that's, first of all, I think that that's, yeah, just important to say that. And for me personally, to ground myself in between my travels, a big thing is literally just grounding. So barefoot, either with my bare feet, if it's too cold, or if it's just not possible, then with my hands. I always take a moment just to arrive on the land of where I am. And that could be just taking a walk bare feet, or just going outside and just putting my hands on a tree, taking a few breaths, breathing down into the lower parts of my body. So really bringing the breath down into the lower belly. That already can work wonders, just doing a few deep belly breaths. A second thing that is very important to my life, because I'm a passionate foodie, is, of course, and you know that on the retreats, we take special care of really making sure that the menu is also aligned with the elements. And so the earth element would be, the flavor associated is sweet, and it's really looking at like rooted foods. So root vegetables, sweet potato, pumpkin, beetroot. I have a specific recipe of like a Buddha bowl that I make with all those root vegetables and some kind of grain that also adds a sense of heaviness, of groundedness. And any kind of sweet fruit is also very earthy, has that earth element, especially if you can pick it fresh off of a tree. So now apples and pears are in season. And so that can just bring that sense of earth in your body, in your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing, maybe for those that practice yoga and that are familiar with Tadasana, mountain pose, is a very simple one. Just standing, rooting, standing tall, tucking your tailbone and pressing into your big toes, which activates the earth meridian.
Ey, dieser Job, den ich gerade habe, ich komme ja menschlich total gut an, aber beruflich komme ich mal gar nicht weiter.
Mach's doch besser.
Mit einem Job bei SOS Kinderdorf machst du nicht nur einen Job, sondern du kannst wirklich etwas bewirken. Du kannst dich weiterbilden und kommst beruflich voran. Bewirb dich jetzt auf einen von vielen Jobs. SOS Kinderdorf. Mach's doch besser.
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, and then we go on to the water element. How do I know it's out of balance again, water?
I mean, it could be a lot of things. So with water, it could be that you're feeling very emotional. So there was a few weeks ago, there was a time where I cried every day. Mm. I went for a walk in the forest and I saw trees that had been chopped off and I started crying and I felt, okay, there's something off. This isn't my usual sense of emotion is, you know. Mm. So I think definitely noticing when you're overly emotional, that's a big indication. Water is also connected, like I said, to stress or adrenal fatigue.
Stress, okay.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of back pain is also the water element because the meridian runs along the spine.
What if I'm less emotional than usually? Is it also water?
It could also be, yes.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a good point.
Okay. So maybe... But going through a heartbreak would also be in this region, right? In the fire region or not?
In the fire, yes. And that's the thing. It can be very... overlapping. It can be different elements that you're working with. It could also be that you combine them, the therapeutic practices to kind of rebalance yourself. So that's where it is quite a complex system, but it can be simplified. And the most important thing is that you actually work with your own wisdom and your own intuition.
Yeah. I was thinking the same. It's a way to get to know yourself as well. So I think at one point, it doesn't matter if you do it like more cognitive or more intuitive and if you use this therapy or this therapy, but you can take what feels right for you and find your own way to get to know yourself and to change.
Exactly.
Okay, so then let's say there's a lot of stress and you want to connect to the element of water. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're facing, now I'm thinking maybe you're facing a lot of resistance, then... probably water could be good as well, right? Because you can flow around resistance then.
Yeah, that's a good way. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And resistance can bring up stress as well, right? And
Yeah, exactly.
So, wonderful. I think for me, the first thing would be to connect with a source of water. So be it a natural source, a lake, an ocean, a waterfall, or standing under a shower or taking a bath. Because I'm well aware that not everyone has the potential to go out and walk to a river, but we all have water available. Fortunately, we live in a world where most of us have running water in our houses and we can just stand under a shower or in a bath. Yeah, so I think with all the elements, like with touching a tree and, you know, taking a bath with water, actually connecting to the source is one of the most powerful ways to also receive guidance. You can also just ask the element.
Ask my shower.
Yes. Cleanse me or, you know, help me. You know, sometimes what you might need is just to stand in the shower and cry and let the water wash away your tears as you're releasing that emotion. So it can also have a very comforting effect to just be with the element and to almost like embody them and allow that to do its healing work.
The first thing would be to connect with water in any way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another practice that for me feels, especially when we're talking about emotions that are either stagnant or resistance, could also be that you're resisting an emotion within you or something that's coming up and you're pushing it down, right? Mm-hmm. So shaking is a wonderful practice, either with some music or lying down on the ground and just shaking your body, starting with the hips, shaking side to side, and just really coming into this motion as if you're water, a river, a wild river that's streaming and flowing, and really allow the movement to reach a height so that you can really shake and move. And putting on music is very helpful for this, some drumming or tribal or whatever you want. And then allowing the movement to slowly slow down gradually. And taking a moment just to lie in Shavasana, just on your bed, on your back, and see what comes up and out and allow it to. So that's kind of this sense of shaking up the body and then releasing whatever needs to be released.
That's beautiful, yeah. Because in nature, like the process is to, when animals are under danger, and they run away and then afterwards they shake.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we have more this freezing now. So we freeze the emotion.
Yes.
And shaking can release the stuck emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can recommend to have one song on your playlist that's a shaking song.
Mm, yes.
And after a stressful day, you can just shake it off.
Shake it out. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I love that you actually use the word frozen. You said then the emotion can become frozen. Mm. And there you see how
it's water.
The water element. Exactly. Yes.
True.
So we all know the language. Mm-hmm. We all speak this wisdom.
Yeah.
But it's just becoming aware mm-hmm. of it, because water has this flowing, beautiful side. Mm-hmm. But when it gets too cold, it does get frozen. And when you light a fire under it, it becomes a mm-hmm. damp
yeah.
or mist.
Yeah.
So the elements also have different stages to them. Water tends to be kind of known as the shape-shifting element. So they, you know, we have a solid, a liquid, and a gas form of water.
Mm. And it makes sense, because also emotions can change quickly if you let them flow and don't fight against them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your water connection food?
The food. You know, I also connect water with the moon cycle and my menstrual cycle, or a woman's menstrual cycle. And I feel that for me, the most watery recipe, and also what I always make when I'm bleeding, is a really nourishing miso soup with mm-hmm. some seaweed. So adding that seaweed element, you have the salty. So saltiness is the flavor of water. And this is also very replenishing for the kidneys. If you look at also the extra minerals that you're putting in with through miso soup and the seaweed, you can add green vegetables, leafy greens, but generally a salty flavor, which comes from this, a miso seaweedy with maybe some fried tofu, sprinkle of sesame. Oh, yeah.
Nice. I can see like your eyes sparkling talking about food. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Then let's go on to the fire.
Mm.
Okay. Fire imbalance would be, you already said, burnout.
Yeah.
So working over your limits and not resting at all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how can I connect, if I have a tendency to do that, how can I connect to fire to help me?
I think a big part of also my personal journey, and a big part of what in society is needed, is balancing the fire, and so like regulating your fire, not allowing it to burn out, and also not allowing it to dim or to become, it's almost like if we throw water on a fire, if you then see this like that noise of like a flame being, which we're also doing in terms of what we're putting into our bodies. So many people are having digestive problems. Right. This is also
connected, right? The fire and the digestion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the small mm-hmm. intestine. So it's really this question of what's your, in Ayurveda, the fire element Agni is related to our digestive fire.
Mm-hmm.
So how much can you actually break down and assimilate in terms of the nourishment that you're putting in your body? So a lot of also gut problems are also related to the fire element and what we're putting into our body. The fuel that we're putting in, we can also see it as that.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
So to come back to your question, how to prevent burning out, I think a big part of it is noticing when you are pushing the limits, when you are depleting yourself. And again, it comes back to this sense of self-awareness. And then also knowing that you're going to pay for it at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can push yourself and then have a depletion or a sickness, or, you know, a big event can then kind of kick you in the ass, and then you would really suffer from it. If you approach it from this sense of self-love and self-worth, and know that you're not just here for one season, you're here for a lifetime, and you want to run for a lifetime, and you want to have as much energy and vibrance as possible, then it's really important just to stay aware and to keep yourself within your own limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do think that fire is perhaps the most challenging element to balance. At least I know also in my personal life, for me, mm-hmm. it's been, it's still a challenge sometimes mm-hmm. to regulate it.
I love how you say we're not here for one season, but to run all our life.
Mm.
And of course, it makes sense that you can't give 100% of your power for 85 years every day.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it that way, that's crazy. Of yes. course, you need days where you go down to 20% and then you go down to 10 and then you go up to 60 and then you go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you connect to fire?
Fire is for me, I mean, it is connected to the summer season. So in the summer, I'm like full fire. That's also when I run my retreats. I'm in really my work flow. I'm productive. I'm doing a lot. I then balance that with the winter season where I allow myself to rest more, to hibernate, to come into creative flow, to be in a yin place. Yeah, I kind of have this, I'm fortunate to have designed my life that way. And I know not everyone does, but summer is, for most of us, it's also a time of festivity and social gatherings and festivals. Mm.
The days are longer. You can do more.
Exactly. There's literally more light, more sunshine, more fire. Mm. So I think in the summer, we generally already celebrate fire in that sense. Maybe not consciously, but many of us are already doing this. So a great way to honor the fire element is to perhaps have a gathering around summer solstice and to make a big bonfire and just to, yeah, I guess celebrate also the light in our lives and the, our heart connections and our passions. So this is definitely a way that I like to heighten the fire element in the season of fire.
So fire is for you connected to summer and it's for all of us connected to summer as well, right?
It's, yeah, it's generally in the summer, it's heightened.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said that you take the rest more in the winter, but probably also during summer, you need some other elements to balance, right?
Because, yes, of course. Yeah. And I also still take rest in between things in the summer. Yeah.
But I feel like most people can agree. Also, working with patients, I can feel that in the winter, the energy is lower for many of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then here in the winter, so winter is the water element rules the winter.
Mm.
So that's generally when we can get a bit more depressed, a bit more heavy.
Yes.
Yes, there's, you know, less light. Like you mentioned, in the summer, there's naturally more light. In the winter, it might get darker if you're in the northern hemisphere. Then what can help is to bring more fire into your daily life. So to start your morning with a fiery sun salutation, for example, or to bring the color red into your food, to bring bitter foods into your palate. So, for example, a cacao, a glass of hot cacao with a sprinkle of cayenne pepper, which brings some spiciness. That's very fiery and heart activating.
And also in winter, we light a lot of candles.
Yes.
So we also do that intuitively.
Exactly.
We have the festive season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we might have a fire inside or,
you know,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's also how we balance it out.
Yeah.
That there's less fire outside.
Yes.
Less fire in nature. So we bring it on ourselves. Air. You said that air is also overthinking and being a lot in your mind, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you already said it helps to go out for a walk. And also it's lightness and joy.
Yeah.
So how can I connect or how do you connect to the element of air? And in what situations is the connection important?
Air is a playful element.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I'm in a mood where my inner child is coming out, so my little girl. So for example, when I'm actually now in the autumn with the falling leaves, when I take a walk, I always then want to pick up the leaves and throw them up and I want to kick them. And there's a sense of playfulness, in that. So I think whenever we're in a playful mode, that's where the air element is present and it's bringing our child also out. And to go with that, so to also let your inner child play.
Mm, I love that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's so important now, especially as adults, because we often suppress our inner child. Mm-hmm. And so the air element is also about taking life less seriously.
Mm. Yeah, we all need that.
Yes. Hey. Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
So yeah, in a state of play and laughter and lightness, whenever I feel that, I tend to feel air also when I'm in the kitchen again, this sense of playfulness. And it's also connected to the large intestine. So just like the fire element could be related to indigestion or some digestive problems, the air element is related to gut health. So the large intestine, the colon, in terms of, you know, constipation or there's any imbalances in the microbiome. And a good practice for this is to make your own sauerkraut, for example, or probiotics, things mm-hmm. that are fermented, sourdough bread.
It's sour, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, really nourishing your gut health. That's supportive of the air element. And as I already mentioned before, doing pranayama to also support the lungs.
Yeah. Okay. So when I'm silly and when I'm with friends and laughing, are we having a game night? That would be air element as well.
Yes, you're definitely tapping into air.
Air and fire maybe together with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm getting it. Okay, let's go for the fifth and last element. That's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know? Maybe. Okay. How do I know that spirit is missing? Maybe when I don't really feel like there's meaning to my life or,
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else could show me that this element needs a stronger representation in my life?
So generally this sense of lostness when we really feel, perhaps you know the term the dark night of the soul. It's this on our spiritual paths. Most of us, I think everyone generally goes through a dark night of the soul, which is a sense of, it can also be likened to a spiritual depression. It's this sense of not knowing the meaning of your life, like you said, and seeking for a deeper purpose and perhaps wanting to quit your job and completely redirect, but being so terrified that you don't know, you know, being afraid of the unknown. That's a big one. And because spirit is, if you look at a night sky full of stars, that darkness, that sense of what's beyond, what's, how big is it? What's, you know, there's a lot of questions. And often when we look up to a night sky, we get these philosophical questions that arise. And, but there's generally this sense of mystery and that there's something bigger than us. That's spirit. And generally when we lose sight of it or we feel lost, doubtful, alone, loneliness can also be related to spirit. That's when, perhaps some attention to the spirit element, but it can also come through more strengthening of the other four, because spirit is all four elements together. So it can be, it's very specific, I think, to the individual and the specific situation.
And how do you connect? I could imagine it's meditating. Is it?
Ding, ding, ding. Meditating, yes. And also in terms of less obvious, perhaps, is connecting to the spring, which is the element of new beginnings and rebirth. It's also a time where it's beautiful to set intentions for your year to come. And it's the perfect time to do a spring cleanse for your body, to renew your body, your cells, to also work with the liver, which is the organ connected to the spirit element. So any kind of cleansing that you do. So every year in the spring, I do a full body cleanse and really reset my whole system.
Mm. Yeah. Like a new start for yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Okay, so now we've gone through all five of the elements and you shared a lot, but it's just a very, very tiny part. And I feel like the longer I talk about it, the more I can see that it's a complete science behind.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
Like you say, there's a lot to it. There's the nutrition, there's movement, the yoga, the emotional techniques. And yeah, that's also what I find so interesting about it. That it combines so many things, I think, that are helpful.
And
the holistic approach. What would you say, what's a good way to start? Now that the listeners have heard, probably curious, I guess many are curious now. So how can I start tomorrow?
A good way to start. To connect in your own way to the elements. So whatever element intuitively is calling you right now in this moment, to connect with it in whatever way intuitively feels right for you. So that could be, I want to go outside and touch a tree and connect to the earth and press into my toes and then eat an apple with awareness and see what it does to my body. Maybe that's your connection to the earth. Or you know that there's a river nearby and you want to go and just listen to the water. So yeah, I would say to go back to the source and to ask Mother Nature.
Beautiful. And also easy. You don't have to read books or you don't have to listen to more podcasts.
No, exactly. It's all, it's in you already.
Just go out. Mm-hmm.
And go out.
Go out. Go in and go out.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Go in and go out. Yeah. Mm.
Is there anything else on the elements you would like to share?
I feel just to say that whatever you feel from this, and whether it's the language that resonates for you or if it's already something you're familiar with, you already know this. It's already a part of you, and it has the potential to, like I said, kind of bring your life, maybe amplify your life in a way that can be very therapeutic, very healing, and also just very joyful. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. You're doing good marketing for the nature.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, I also want you to share a bit how people can reach you. But there's one last question we always have in the podcast, and I want to ask you as well. So what was a moment of happiness in the last week for you?
Ooh. A really, really big one was seeing a potential property, a piece of land where maybe a big, big dream is going to be manifesting in the next year, to open a healing retreat center in Italy. And that for me, just my heart was like exploding to see the beauty of this place, the nature, and also the potential of really creating a safe space for people to come and heal themselves.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
I think now everyone listening and me, we're all keeping our fingers crossed. Yeah.
Thank you. Because
this really sounds like something you should do. If listeners want to connect with you, want to know more about the elements, or want to book a private session, get to know you, how can they reach you? How can they find you?
So my website has all the information for the retreats, and there's also a link to my most recent book, Nature's Calling, which is a guidebook for the five elements. And the site is www.elementalyogaretreat.com. And yeah, I think that all the information is there. Also through Instagram or Facebook, we have a page. And again, it's the same, elementalyogaretreat.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will also put it down in the notes, so you can just click on it and find Caroline.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for your time and your energy and explaining all this. And I really think it's knowledge that is very valuable. It helps us to get back to feeling more, more out of the thinking and the feeling again, and back into our body. And this is also something I find very important, to have the balance between the mind and the body. Thank you for bringing this knowledge in the world, and your beautiful retreats, and spending time with me on this podcast episode.
Thank you. I'm very grateful for it. Yeah. And thank you to everyone listening.
Das war die Interviewfolge mit Caroline zum Thema, wie wir mehr im Balance leben können und wie die Natur und die Elemente uns dabei unterstützen können. Und ich hoffe, dass ihr viel daraus mitnehmen konntet, dass ihr Lust habt, für euch zu ergründen, was bedeuten die Elemente für mich. Ich finde, dass es ein spannendes Bild ist, um manche Prozesse für sich nochmal deutlicher zu machen und vielleicht zu externalisieren und dadurch nochmal anders zu verstehen und anzugehen. Und finde es ganz spannend, sich zu überlegen im Hier und Jetzt, wie sieht es aus mit meiner Balance, mit den Elementen, und was habe ich vielleicht zu wenig in meinem Leben, was wünsche ich mir mehr oder was hat die Überhand genommen, was ist gerade zu viel präsentiert. Und da hat Caroline ja einige Ideen geliefert, wie man dagegen praktisch vorgehen kann, welche Rituale helfen können und wie die Natur uns da unterstützen kann. Und ja, ich hoffe, dass ihr einige Inspirationen mitgenommen habt und Lust habt, es auszuprobieren und vielleicht das eine oder andere hilft, zu einem balancierten und schöneren Herbst und Winter zu kommen. Wenn euch die Folge gefallen hat, freuen wir uns sehr über eine Weiterempfehlung, über eine Bewertung bei Apple Podcasts und von euch zu hören. Auch gerne euren Glücksmoment der Woche und Themenideen an glücklichverkopft@outlook.de, glücklich mit OE, oder auf unserem Instagram-Kanal. Wir wünschen euch eine schöne Woche und sagen bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!